Welcome in to another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. And well, folks, the Stanley Cup Final begins on Wednesday. The Panthers are in the Stanley Cup Final for the third straight year. First of all, hope everybody's enjoying this because this kind of thing just doesn't happen all that often. The Panthers are looking to defend the 2024 Stanley Cup Championship, and well, they've won the Eastern Conference for a third straight year. So coming up on Wednesday, things get going. We'll lay out the Stanley Cup Final schedule for you in just a moment. We'll also recap Wednesday night's Game 5 win over the Carolina Hurricanes. On the road, the Panthers clinched the Eastern Conference title. We'll relive that with some highlights as well as some sound from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice and Matthew Tkachuk as well coming up in just a moment. Next segment, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press. He'll stop by. We'll preview the Stanley Cup Final, and then later on in the hour, my friend and yours, giving us the Edmonton perspective from Edmonton Sports Talk, Reed Wilkins. Had a chance to catch up with him, so we'll get the Oilers' view on things coming up later on in the program. It's a bit of a Stanley Cup Final preview edition. That's always a fun edition. That means the Stanley Cup Final is fast approaching. And well, in mentioning that, again, Doug Plagans with you this morning. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Happy to have you aboard here for the next hour talking all things Florida Panthers hockey. The schedule lays out like this. The Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. It's going to be Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern in Edmonton. Panthers will start this series on the road, just like they have the other three series on this run. Panthers Oilers, 8 Eastern on Wednesday. That'll kick things off. Every game of the series is going to be an 8 o'clock Eastern time start, so keep that in mind. The second game of the series will be Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern in Edmonton. The series will shift to sunrise Monday night, June 9th, 8 o'clock Eastern. Thursday night, June 12th at 8 o'clock Eastern. Game 5, if necessary, would be Saturday, June 14th. Game 6, if necessary, Tuesday, June 17th, back in Sunrise. And Game 7, if necessary, would be in Edmonton on Friday, June 20th. So that's how the schedule lays out. It all gets going Wednesday night. Panthers, Oilers out in Edmonton. So that's the schedule for the upcoming Stanley Cup Final. How'd the Panthers get there? Well, they knocked off the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Final for the second time in a three-year span, this time in five games. This time they finished it off back on Wednesday night. So why don't we dive right into it and recap the week that was, the game that was back on Wednesday. The Panthers were 5-3 winners to lock down that Eastern Conference championship against the Carolina Hurricanes. Here are the highlights from the Game 5 victory as they aired on the Panthers radio network.
Jones scales the blue line, left side, Ekblad to the high slot, a shot tip, they score! A power play goal! And the Panthers cut the deficit in half. Matthew Tkachuk got a stick on that, and the Canes lead reduced to 2-1. Jones, long clearing feed, Tkachuk, he'll hand one off, in go the Panthers, Rodriguez Bennett back up front, tip, they score! Evan Rodriguez crashing the net, and just like that, this game is tied at 2! What a setup, what a finish, and Evan Rodriguez picks a heck of a time to get his first of the playoffs. Marchand, sharp angle in front, tip, they score! And it's Anton Lundell, set up perfectly by Marchand, right at the top of the goal crease. Lundell upstairs, and the Panthers get the lead. It's 3-2 here in Raleigh. Barkov along the right boards, down to the corner, then back behind the net with Orlov all over him. Barkov breaks free to the front of the net, back in feed. Verhaeghe, he scores! And the Panthers take a 4-3 lead with 7:39 to go in the third. The Panthers are back in front. Carter Verhaeghe upstairs. What a pass from Barkov. And the Panthers once again in front here in Raleigh. Sam Reinhart to Barkov, and he'll rattle one out of the zone. Bennett fresh off serving the penalty. Races to the offensive end. Has the puck. Cuts up front. He scores! An empty netter for Sam Bennett. Fresh off serving the penalty. And the Panthers take a 5-3 lead with 53.4 seconds to go here in Game 5. The Panthers are less than a minute away from moving on to the Cup Final. The final seconds tick away, and the Florida Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final for the third year in a row. The Panthers win Game 5, 5-3. They finish off the Canes in five games. The Panthers are Eastern Conference champions in 2025.
The Beasts of the East will be returning to the Stanley Cup Final for a third time. Carter Verhaeghe with the game-winning goal. What an effort by the Panthers. Down 2-0. They storm back all the way.
So the Panthers knock off the Carolina Hurricanes. That back on Wednesday evening, and the Panthers punching their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final for a third consecutive year. As far as some of the key performances from that Game 5 win, for the Panthers, you had five different goal scorers. That's been a hallmark trait of this team, 19 different goal scorers on the playoff run. But multi-point games in that one for Matthew Tkachuk, who had a goal and an assist. Alexander Barkov had two assists. Sam Reinhart, two assists. Sam Bennett, a goal and an assist as well. Barkov had that play to set up Carter Verhaeghe for what would be the game-winning goal, which was an absolutely all-world display, fighting off Dmitry Orlov's pressure and then dishing the puck to Verhaeghe on a backhand pass. He jammed it home, wasted no time. The Panthers get out of Raleigh with the 5-3 win and the Prince of Wales trophy. Let's get into hearing from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice first. This was post-game after the Game 5 victory. He talks about enjoying the moment for that evening and that day before the Panthers would turn the page to get ready for Edmonton.
I'll enjoy the game tonight, just the specific game, because it was clearly not easy, and there were ups and downs, and the emotions and the stage of it. I'll enjoy that tonight. The bigger picture has changed maybe a little bit for our team. The first time, and you fight to get to the final, it's just such a big deal. And then when you do it a couple of times, you understand that, you know, that you're three quarters of the way through, and there's lots more that has to happen. So, but we enjoy that one tonight. That was, it was all the elements that make our sport great. They're all over us, like all over us. And we're serving up pizzas, and we don't look like we should have made the playoffs. And then the next thing you know, we look pretty good, right? Those are two, I think Carolina is an exceptionally well-coached team systematically and identity-wise. So, yeah, we get to enjoy tonight.
Yeah, the Panthers had to fight back in that game back on a Wednesday to win the Eastern Conference Championship. Carolina got two from Sebastian Aho in the first period before Matthew Tkachuk, Evan Rodriguez, and Anton Lundell would score to give the Panthers the lead at the end of two periods of play. It was 3-3 briefly when Seth Jarvis tied things up in the third for Carolina, but it was Carter Verhaeghe at 12:21 of the third, and then Sam Bennett with that empty netter in the final minute, securing the 5-3 win for the Panthers. So you heard from Paul Maurice there. Here's Matthew Tkachuk, Panthers forward. What it means, this was postgame on making a third straight cup final.
Yeah, it's hard to do. You very rarely see it. Very proud of the group. I think I got to give a lot of credit to the new guys, whether they've been here for the whole year or a bit of the year. This is nothing against, the guys that aren't here, but, we needed that fresh blood and that fresh energy and the guys that are fresh and hungry. We're hungry coming back, obviously, but you get those new guys that help put you over the edge to get to this point right now. So got to give them a lot of credit. We wouldn't be here without them. And we got one more job to do.
So Matthew Tkachuk there giving a lot of credit to some of the new players in the Panthers lineup who've come in since they won the Stanley Cup last year. And Panthers obviously with some players coming in who've got some hunger, no doubt about that. And some guys who are trying to win another Stanley Cup or players who are trying to win their first one. Some guys who've been to Cup Finals before but haven't hoisted the Stanley Cup. The Panthers would love to see do that in a Panthers uniform. So again, Matthew Tkachuk there with some kind words to the new players in the lineup and the boost that they've given this team over the course of the season throughout this playoff run. Let's step aside here on Panthers Insider. We're going to continue previewing the Stanley Cup Final. That was a lot of a look back at Game 5. Coming up next, we'll turn the page. We'll start looking ahead to Panthers Oilers. The Stanley Cup Final begins on Wednesday night in Edmonton. It's going to be an 8 o'clock Eastern face-off. Later on in the hour, Reed Wilkins from Edmonton Sports Talk gives us the Edmonton perspective on the series. But coming up on the other side, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press stops by, and we will break down what we've seen from the playoff run. We'll look ahead to this Stanley Cup final, talk about what it all means. That's coming up on the other side. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Doug Plagans with you. It's Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Here we welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. And it is the first Saturday, I guess the only Saturday between the conference final and the Stanley Cup final. The Panthers are on their way to the Stanley Cup final for a third straight year. And for the second straight year, they will take on the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton getting by the Dallas Stars in five games. So we have a Cup final rematch, and it all gets going coming up on Wednesday night. That's June 4th. Every game of the series is going to be an 8 o'clock Eastern start, where this year differs from last year. So that this year the series will start with games 1 and 2 in Edmonton Wednesday and Friday, 8 Eastern in Edmonton. The series will shift back to sunrise for Monday, June 9th, Thursday, June 12th. Beyond that, everything if necessary. But the Panthers and the Oilers set to meet in the Stanley Cup final for the second consecutive year. And here to chat about it with us this morning, my friend and yours from the Associated Press. You can find him on the platform formerly known as Twitter, at By Tim Reynolds, doing all kinds of great work covering everything in South Florida, better than just about anybody out there. Here is Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by. Tim, thanks for joining us. And we can't preview things, big things. If we're previewing a season, if we're previewing a cup final, we can't do it without Tim Reynolds. So we thank you very much for stopping by.
And as always, after the intro, we're out of time. So thank you, sir. I always appreciate the kind words. Happy Saturday to you. Happy Saturday to the listeners. Happy cup final. Here we go again. I can't wait. I'm very excited. And I think deep down, it might not be the easiest matchup, but I think it's the matchup. Hockey deserved and probably hockey wanted. So let's get into it.
And in mentioning that, Tim, Panthers Oilers series starts Wednesday. A couple of different directions I want to go, because I specifically remember a conversation that I had with you, I believe, when we were talking about the year that was in relation to the 23-24 season and the 2024 run to a Stanley Cup championship for the Panthers. And you did mention that in your experiences, especially in covering the Miami Heat, winning that first one's great, but all it did was increase everybody's hunger to get back and win a second one. And if you're fortunate enough to win that second one, that's the one that really is the best one. I guess this Panthers team, they've had that hunger all year long. Did this run, did this season, did any of it feel different to you than the previous years?
Honestly, no. And here's why I say that. It certainly not any of the previous two, just because, you know, it was a summer of, it was so rushed. You win the title on June 24th, and then you have to wait because of the draft and other obligations. You do the parade on June 30. Free agency starts like 12 hours later. You're back in camp in 2 months. They did have the cup on the ice for opening night, which I thought was a nice touch for the banner raising. And then this team figured out very early that it is not the Stanley Cup champions. Last year's team was the Stanley Cup champions. And even though it's largely the same core, largely the same guys, this team understood right away that it has not done anything. And that, I think that's critical. And when we talk about these windows for teams, like why winning the second one is so tough, there is a championship hangover. You see it in a lot of sports. Or after a certain amount of time, there's just fatigue. I think the fourth straight year of going to the finals for the Heat, I think that team knew halfway through that season that they were not going to win it, and they were probably on the verge of a breakup. Just because it's so demanding. It's so tiring. This team wasn't affected by any of that. And when you go into the nuts and bolts of this year's season, Dougie, you guys are going to fly about 60,000 miles this year by the time it's all said and done, with 6.5-hour flights to Edmonton as the last leg of the journey as your reward. This team's been to Finland. This team played 14 or 15 back-to-backs, which was a ridiculous amount. The West Coast road trips were very strange in the way they were set up and how many it was not travel friendly. Let's put it mildly. You were on those trips, you know. This team's been through a lot. They've been through, they got handed probably the toughest possible schedule in terms of travel and things like that. They haven't blinked. So that's a very long answer to your question of no, it hasn't seemed different because it's been the same, what do we do today approach that I think we've seen from the Panthers the last 2 years and maybe even a bit longer, but certainly in the 3 years under Paul Maurice, it's been this, what's the next thing? What's the shift in front of us? What's the job in front of us? What's the game in front of us? And it's never been about getting back to the final and trying to win the cup again. It's been about winning the day. And that's how these championship windows get extended. When you think about just June, you're going to lose in April or May. This team didn't do that.
Yeah, we always hear Paul Maurice reference the phrase, handle your day, and the way they go about their business and everything in relation to that. Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by here. And Tim, I guess taking a look now at the most recent Panthers action that we saw, the Eastern Conference Final, the way the Panthers got to this Stanley Cup Final. And of course, we'll touch a little bit on the matchup upcoming and everything that goes along with that. But the Panthers seem to be picking up steam as this playoff run goes along, and every deep playoff run has a couple of those turning points that you can go back to. Last year's run, you had the Sam Reinhart overtime goal against the Rangers at home to tie the series, and you had the Bobbery and the first-round series against Tampa. Every run has a couple of benchmark points that you can look at. The game three against Toronto, I think, right now, the biggest turning point in the entire playoffs. It was probably a missed opportunity by the Leafs. The Panthers were able to get themselves back in the series. And I felt like, I know we hear conflicting views about momentum, but it felt like momentum just rolled through that. Panthers momentum rolled through that Eastern Conference Final, with the exception of the one blip in game four. But overall, do you feel like you're seeing a team that's picking up steam as this playoff run goes along? And did it all stem back to that Game 3 overtime win against the Leafs?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's clue the listeners in on what we're talking about. If Paul Maurice was in this conversation, there would be two votes that momentum exists and one vote that it doesn't. And it'd be you and I voting for momentum. Paul is steadfast that momentum only goes as far as the puck drop for the next game, and that's it. I do think that Game 3 was a turning point. I don't know if they're still dining out on that one. Like, I don't know if that moment is the one that still has them feeling pretty good. But the way they won that game, remember, Toronto took 8 shots in overtime of game 3. 2 were breakaways. Breakaways by a couple of guys who are really good at putting pucks in the back of the net. And Bob was just like, okay, yep, no problem. And anyway, they weren't spectacular saves. They were just Bob just doing his thing. So you stay in the game, you stay in the series. If one of those gets by Bob, we're doing a season wrap-up show 3 weeks ago. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. For them to win the game the way they did, on kind of a fluky, kind of a pop-up to shortstop that the shortstop and third baseman mishandle, and it gets into the back of the net goal by Brad Marchand. To me, it's the exhale. Okay, now we can relax. Now we can stop thinking about, oh my gosh, these are the Eastern Conference playoffs. Oh my gosh, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Oh my gosh, we've got to go to Toronto and win a game. That's when it became hockey again. And this team is at its best when it doesn't think much. And I am certainly in no way saying that it is not an intelligent team. It's an incredibly intelligent team. But you've seen from the shooting the rats at Marchand, the whole the 4-day story that Dairy Queen became, this team needs to have a little bit of fun. It needs to have a little bit of silly. Look, any good Paul Maurice team, you know, is going to have some silliness to it. I think winning the game in that fashion, an unexpected, it's in the net, exhale, all right, now we're good. And even though you're still down 2-1 in that series, I think it has been a change. This team never gripped the stick too tight or any of those hockey cliches, but it just got reminded that when they play the fun, relaxed, just go take care of your shift cycle, when the style of play, not cycle, style of play, they're better than anybody. And they've been better than anybody ever since. I think since then, if you put their body of work up against Edmonton, in the last 2.5 rounds, or the last 1.5 rounds, sorry. It matches up pretty good. This is nothing against Edmonton. This Edmonton team is every bit as good as last year, and we'll get into that, I'm sure. But the fact that you could relax after that goal, they got back to playing their style of hockey and no longer playing uphill. That, to me, was critical.
And we'll get to that matchup with Edmonton here in just a moment. But one more before we do, Tim, we all knew, I remember we were there on trade deadline day, 1 minute before the deadline, when the Brad Marchand news came down that he was going to be a Florida Panther and that his longtime run with the Boston Bruins was going to be coming to an end. You knew that he wasn't just coming in to be a passenger. He was coming in to be an impact guy because that's the only thing that he knows how to be, and that's in his DNA. But have even you been surprised at what a mark he has made in such a short period of time on this team, on the ice, off the ice? Psychologically, it feels like he has just been everything and more for this Panthers team. And it really has been a short period of time because he wasn't even cleared to play when the Panthers acquired him. There was a little bit of a waiting period there just to get him into the lineup. But the mark that he's made in such a short period of time, he's made guys around him raise their games. It really feels like he's impacted everything he's touched as far as this Panthers team goes.
It's blown my mind, Dougie. I mean, it really has. I mean, you know, we don't know what's going to happen on July 1. You know, I know that there's a lot of fans that hope Brad Marchand stays. I do think there's a chance that Brad Marchand stays, but let's not lose sight of the fact he's a rental. Rentals come in and they have a role. Kyle Okposo, great example. Great in game 7. Wonderful guy, wonderful storyteller, wonderful leader, former captain. It's not the player Brad Marchand is, but still was a guy that just found his role in the locker room last year. Stayed quiet until he didn't have to, but the Panthers welcomed his input. The fact that Brad Marchand joined the Panthers player group chat and immediately started chirping at these guys, I think was so critical. I think it was so important for him to be Brad Marchand, be that guy, be that sarcastic, funny, slightly off color, things we can't say on radio type of guy with your teammates. Make them laugh, be one of the boys. He's done that perfectly. The Panthers have welcomed him perfectly. He has history with these guys. He does not like that Carter Verhaeghe has a penchant for scoring big goals in playoff games. He loves it now, though. He's had history with Sam Bennett. He's had history with Matthew Tkachuk. Nobody has history with Barkey, but, you know, I'm sure Barkey wasn't one of his favorite players to come see come at him when he was wearing the golden black. Now he loves Barkey. He's done an amazing job of just becoming a Panther. He's not just here. He's part of this thing. He's here for one reason: help this team win a cup. It's been an unbelievable thing to watch. The willingness of the Panthers to accept him, the comfort level he has with the fans. The whole the shooting the rats thing, Adam, I absolutely love it. I think it is one of those stories that we're going to tell 25 years from now when we talk about Florida Panther history. It's Bill Zito is an evil genius. We all know that. But he got Brad Marchand for, well, what's now a first-round pick and half of his remaining salary. And it's helped them get back to the Stanley Cup final. It's the move. It's the move of the year, I think, in hockey, period.
Right now, absolutely. And I think if anybody were going to throw another potential move of the year, hey, I've got one that might rival it. The Seth Jones trade might be right there next to it. So a couple of big Bill Zito moves leading up to the deadline that have helped this Panthers team, no question. Tim Reynolds, Associated Press, here with us. Tim, looking at this matchup here, when I look at the Panthers and the Oilers and what kind of opponent we have on the docket here with the Edmonton Oilers, the Zach Hyman injury is a big blow for them, no question about that, but they do still have two of the top five players in the world in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Defensively, especially getting Matthias Ekholm back, I think the Oilers are more equipped this year on the blue line than they were 1 year ago when the Panthers saw them. I think with the Oilers, the story continues to be what version of Stuart Skinner do you get in net? Right now, they're getting a pretty good one. So if that continues, we'll see. But he was good in the Cup Final last year. The Panthers were just able to overcome that. I do think overall, and I didn't think this for a lot of the year, I thought last year's Oilers team might have been a little bit deeper than this year's bunch, but then Evander Kane came back and they acquired Trent Frederick. And right now, I do think this is a little bit, like I said, to use the word again, a little bit more equipped Oilers team in terms of full roster depth this time around than we saw last year. What do you think about the opponent the Panthers have on tap here?
Well, there's nothing you can point to and say, oh, okay, that's what you exploit. That's the weak spot. Like, I mean, yes, we all know that Skinner can be very up or very down. Right now, he's very up, and you assume he's going to stay that way. It's going to take Florida's best to win the series. I think, to be fair, it's also going to take Edmonton's best to win the series. This series is not going to be 4 or 5. It's not. There's no way. Hockey deserves better than that anyway. These two teams deserve better than that. I think they want this thing. Don't get me wrong. If anybody gets a chance to win it in 4, they'll take it. But these guys are expecting it to be 7, and it plays into what Paul Maurice has been teaching from day one here. You expect every series to go 7. You prepare to go 7. You start chopping down the tree in game 1, and by game 7, you own the tree. That's the approach that they have taken. This will not be new to the Florida Panthers. Will that approach be the same for the Edmonton Oilers? Is it something that they know what they went through last year. They went through hell. And yes, they're going to have all that energy of, this is the matchup we wanted. We vowed in that locker we were going to get back here. We want to play these guys. We're going to beat them again. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. That's all well and good until that puck drops. And again, it goes back to the Paul Maurice philosophy of, all that stuff's great until somebody drops the puck and the game starts. And then when the game starts, it all changes. I do think Edmonton's better than last year. I think going through what they went through last year makes the superstars, makes Connor McDavid, makes Leon Draisaitl better. I think, no question, the Zach Hyman injury that's awful. I mean, that stinks. It's going to hurt them, period, full stop. But you're right. The moves that they made, the Frederick move is huge. They can absorb even losing an all-time player like Zach Hyman. They're better than they were last year. And it's just going to come down to goaltending, and it's going to come down to recognizing moments and doing those little things, staying out of the box and all those things and blah, blah, blah. And I know that's not real insightful, but if you can find something that separates these two teams, I'm more than happy to hear it, because all things considered, yeah, there's things the Oilers do better than the Panthers. There's things the Panthers do better than the Oilers, but I think at the end of the day, it's pretty even.
Yeah, I see an Oilers team that is a little bit more willing to commit to defending for a full game than maybe in years past. And I think they probably looked at the tape and said, hey, if we're going to get to the Cup final again, if we do, we can't get into a situation where we're having to play Connor and Leon basically an entire third period to try and win a game. We're going to have some other guys we feel comfortable rolling out there. And this year, that's what they've had. They've increased their depth, and Corey Perry somehow, some way, is better at 40 than he was at 34. Go figure that one out.
Man, 67 years old. Man, is 67 years old. It's unbelievable. He played with Toe Blake.
It's crazy, Tim, though, but he's by the time these Cup finals are over with, he's going to be top 3 or 4 all time in playoff games played. It's unbelievable.
And he's not done.
No, he's clearly proven. He played 81 games this year and scored 19 goals. He's definitely not done. Tim, last thing here for you. I don't think we're breaking any ground. Is Sergei Bobrovsky the most important Panther here in these Cup finals? Because when I do look at the matchups, I see two teams that do a lot of things well. I see good players up and down both lineups, and I fall back to the old idea of, well, the goalie that makes one more big save for his team, that's probably going to be the goalie for the team that wins.
That is the absolute edge. I know that McDavid is elite and Draisaitl is elite, and they have two of those guys, and the Panthers have an Alexander Barkov and a Matthew Tkachuk. And look, I think, you know, there's one A, one B in terms of the elite player in the series. And you got the Mikulas, who's been phenomenal, and thank goodness he's back for the Panthers, and Forslings and the Ekman, or the Nugent Hopkins. Sorry, I get my hyphenated guys confused. Nugent Hopkins has been great for Edmonton and all that. You take Bob over Skinner 10 times over 10. 10 times out of 10, you take Bob over Skinner. And to me, yes, Bob is the most important Panther for the next couple of weeks. Bob has been the most important Panther for the last 52 weeks. Bob has probably been the most important Panther for the last 104 weeks. It's on him. But this is the best version of Bob that we've seen. And we talk about Corey, like we make fun of Corey Perry out of complete respect for what the man is doing. You know, Bob's no spring chicken either. And this is the best version of Bob. He has gotten better with age. There's just something magical about hockey players that find a way to do that, how they find that fountain of middle age and somehow are better now than they were then at their quote peak. Bob is that guy. And in the ultimate moment last year, he came up so big. I mean, some of the saves, it wasn't a high volume game seven, because game sevens rarely are, just because it's so close checking, so tight checking. Quality saves last year by Bob in game seven. They were plentiful. Yes, they lit him up a couple of times. Yes, he went to the bench a couple of times. I get all that. Bob in this playoffs has been unflappable. You're there. You hear him talk pregame. You hear him talk postgame. When he does talk on practice days, he's the calm in the eye of the storm. Let everybody else get excitable. Bob's resting pulse feels like it's about 12. His non-resting pulse feels like it's about 15. He just never seems bothered. He's unflappable back there, the ultimate last line of defense. Bob, to me, if the Panthers, however it plays out, if the Panthers were to be fortunate enough to win this series, how do you not strongly consider Sergei Bobrovsky for a Conn Smythe? How do you not? I mean, he's just been so good in these playoffs. And the Panthers have been so balanced offensively to this point. I think he's been their best player. And he's going to have to be again. And that's not a stretch to think that he will be.
Yeah, when you get to this point in the playoffs, I think you start looking at, okay, if it's this team, if it's this team, if it's this team, who's the leader in the Conn Smythe clubhouse? And I think Sergei Bobrovsky is the leader in the clubhouse right now from the Panthers' perspective, if they are so fortunate to hoist a cup for a second consecutive year. But they're going to a Stanley Cup final for a third straight year. We leave you with this one, Tim. In the historical context of it all, three straight cup finals in this era, where the system is essentially designed to not make the Stanley Cup final 3 years in a row, impressive is putting it lightly.
In the NBA right now, we're about to start an NBA Finals where there have been 14 different franchises playing for it in the last 7 years. Seven different matchups where everybody's changed. There's been no repeats. Everybody's gotten there once. Hockey wanted to do the same, like you said. Hockey has a system where they think they can do the same. This is not just about the tax. There's never been a state income tax in Florida. The Panthers would be in their 31st consecutive Stanley Cup final if the tax were that big of a deal. What they've done is astounding. Here's a stat for you, Dougie. Game two of the Cup Final. Game two coming up in Edmonton on Friday night. Friday? Friday. I think I'm
Yes.
right. Friday. Yes. The days run together this time of year, kids. Game two of the Cup Final will be Florida's 310th game in the last 3 years. No team in hockey history has played more in a 3 year span than these guys. And that's with trips to Finland in there. That's with trips to Hockeyville
And
in
that's not
there.
counting preseason and Four Nations games that a lot of these guys play.
And Four Nations that these guys played in too. And by the way, you have quite a few guys on this roster who have played more than 300 of those 310 games. It's crazy. Reinhardt's missed three. I think Gus has missed five. The miles on these men and the fact that every year you hear Paul talk about camp and how these guys come in so fit, how they just destroy the conditioning test, and how he tries to crush them in that camp and tries to make them break. This is why. It's not to be sadistic. It's not to show off. It's not to act like you're a big tough guy and you're going to put these guys through this terrible hard camp to make them respect you or fear you or whatever as a coach. It's for June. It's so you have the legs in June to know that you have enough to finish the race. No team's played more hockey. No team's played hockey under more extreme, tough circumstances than these guys. I mean, Doug, it was 2 years ago they were down 3-1 to Boston. I mean, the things they've had to do in this run, they don't bat an eye. So in the grand scheme of it all, have there been, yeah, Montreal went to the final 10 straight times and they didn't have charter travel. Like, I get it. I understand they fly first class and they all have chefs. Like, I get it. Okay, it's not the good old days. What they've done is incredible. It just is. And the context of it really needs to be appreciated. It is They have made something that is diabolically hard look really, really easy. And that's the toughest thing you can do in any craft. And my thing and your thing and their thing, they make the tough stuff look really, really easy. It takes very special people to be able to do that.
Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press here with us, covers everything here in South Florida and does it with the best of them. And that includes the Florida Panthers. And you can find him on the platform formerly known as Twitter at @ByTimReynolds, because his name is Tim Reynolds. I have to think that played into the handle there, into the name.
It was part of the, we had a few things in beta. By Alexander Barkov didn't seem right to me. So I decided to use my own name. Unoriginal, I know, but I was pressed for time.
So what we're saying is you are the Alexander Barkov of journalism.
No, I like myself far more than Barky likes himself. Yeah, I have a much bigger ego than Barky.
Well,
Barky is, and Barky's also much better at hockey than I am journalism.
Well, you're outstanding, Tim, and we can't do a preview show without you. Thanks for staying a little longer than we planned, but such great stuff here. We didn't want to cut you short.
Dougie, I'll leave you with this. I will see you at the parade.
That's the lot, yes. Hopefully that's the case. That's what we're hoping for. Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by, check out his stuff at @ByTimReynolds on the platform formerly known as Twitter. Tim, we will see you at the Stanley Cup Final.
Thanks, Dougie.
That is Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. Doug Plagans with you. More of the Panthers Insider Show next on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Back here on Panthers Insider, Doug Plagans with you, Dan Day on the other side of the glass, and I had a chance to catch up with Reed Wilkins of Edmonton Sports Talk to get the Edmonton perspective on the upcoming Stanley Cup Final. Reed Wilkins, Edmonton Sports Talk, kind enough to stop by, and you can find him and his show and all his stuff, edmontonsportstalk.com. And, well, Reed, digging right into this one, the Stanley Cup Final rematch, Panthers and the Oilers. I guess first one here, what makes this year's Oilers squad different from the last one that went to the Cup Final a year ago?
Well, first of all, Doug, I'm sorry if you hear any like a vacuum or anything in the background. I'm just having some people get your room ready. since you're in Edmonton so much the last couple of years.
Appreciate it.
You know, that's a really good question, because obviously they were quite good last year, as Panthers faithful know very well. I guess the biggest difference would be is that I think they can play a very rugged and very physical game, and they're comfortable doing uncomfortable things. I think, you know, having a healthy Evander Kane makes a difference. You know, they added a guy like Trent Frederick at the trade deadline who can take up space and be physical. And then you just have the continued growth and commitment of, you know, a lot of the core players or players who have been here a while. You know, with McDavid, Draisaitl, Nurse, Nugent Hopkins, guys like that. And I think especially you really started to see it in the Vegas series. You saw it against LA, but I think it really came to fruition against Vegas, is that the Oilers were very comfortable when the puck was along the boards. Like, and they were putting the puck there. Okay, there's no fancy play. We're going to put it in deep. We're going to put it to a safe spot, or we're going to flip it out to the neutral zone and go dig for it. And they're just comfortable in those scrums. They're comfortable playing a heavy game. They're comfortable playing almost fullback hockey, you know, where you just force it into the blue paint and try to get chances there. You know, I was saying last night on our postgame show, remember the Florida Panthers finished off two of their wins in the Stanley Cup Final by holding the puck along the boards for 10 to 15 seconds, including game 7. And I think now the Oilers are more comfortable doing that, or realizing, all right, sometimes you just got to eat cross checks and a bunch of sticks or a bunch of hits to keep the puck where you want it, or to try to keep pushing it to where you want it. So I think that sort of ruggedness and ability to just dig and grind along the boards is a big difference.
And Reed, when I think back to the year the Panthers came off losing in the Cup Final, when I think back to them coming off winning the Stanley Cup, you could tell a lot from the team in training camp, the mindset, everything like that, the approach. You could tell how businesslike it was. Did you notice something like that from this Oilers team coming off their experience last year into this year as well?
That's a really good question, Doug, because they didn't start the season well again, not as bad as the previous year when Woodcroft got fired. But I mean, they were, I think, just a game or two over 500, 20 games in. And then they weren't good before or after the Four Nations face-off. And then down the stretch, they had guys who were either legitimately injured or were mildly injured and were just kind of being load managed. So I think we've seen maturity throughout the season. I think they've always been focused, but I don't think we've seen the real sort of patient, composed, let's focus on getting the Cup Oilers team until game three against Los Angeles, where they kind of got their full lineup and then they got rolling. I mean, I think they learned a lot the last couple of years, and I think they had that mindset throughout the regular season, but maybe they also had the mindset of like, let's make sure we can get to the playoffs relatively healthy and then go for it. Because I think when they lost to Vegas a couple of years ago, like they came to training camp acting like every game was a playoff game. And I think that contributed to that bad start they had, is because I almost think they were like just so hyper about it already. And then I think this year there was more of, okay, regular season is important. We want to play well, but let's remember what we're actually building towards.
And Reed, last one here, because we talked about it similarly from the Panthers' perspective in our last segment with Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press when he stopped by. But we mentioned that in a series like this, both teams have the big stars, both teams have the offense, both teams are deep. And we both said that Sergei Bobrovsky, the most important Florida Panther probably in this series coming up on the Oilers' side, even with McDavid, even with Draisaitl. Is Stuart Skinner the most important Edmonton Oiler in this series?
Well, he's up there, and what a fascinating season for him, because most of the season he was subpar and certainly sub expectations that he established last year. And then obviously he got pulled after two games against, well, during game two against Los Angeles, and Pickard won six in a row. Look, this is not a newsflash. Sergei Bobrovsky is a better goalie than Stuart Skinner. But Skinner can be on the winning team in this series if he makes the saves he needs to make, and a few big ones, which he did against Dallas, and if the Oilers continue to play as doggedly defensively as they have certainly the last couple of series. Now, Florida is going to make it hard to do that, because I think these teams are very similar in how they're going to want to check and be physical and score off turnovers. But I think the Oilers have been very good at not giving up a lot of odd man rushes. And like, there's so many terms for it, Doug. Back pressure, backtracking. When I was a kid, we just called it back checking. Just forwards getting, just get in the way. Maybe you're not going to steal the puck. Don't give anybody a free chance. And I think we saw in game five in Dallas, I mean, the Oilers did not give up much in the last 15 minutes of that game. They pretty much suffocated Dallas. It'll be harder to do that against the Panthers. But I think, if they lighten Skinner's load in terms of the number of grade A chances against, then I think he can be a very, very good goaltender.
Reed Wilkins, Edmonton Sports Talk here with us. Reed, if there are any folks in the South Florida region who are looking to dig into information about the opponents a little bit more during this Cup final, where can everybody find you?
We are Edmonton Sports Talk. So the very simple way is just go to edmontonsportstalk.com. And if you can go to our YouTube channel, just look up Edmonton Sports Talk, or give a search for the Reed Wilkins Show. My show is 3 to 6 Mountain, so 5 to 8 Eastern Time. Reid, and then Wilkins spelled like Dominique, but no relation.
The human highlight reel or human highlight film. It was one of those two. Reed Wilkins, looking forward to seeing you in Edmonton coming up. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks to Reed Wilkins from Edmonton Sports Talk. Thanks, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press for stopping by. Thanks, Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.